This is an iHeart podcast.
Your holster is way more important than you think it is. It's just way more important than you think it is. What? Look, and I get that. The holster's not the sexy part of carrying firearms, right? You want to talk about your weapon and your ammunition. You want to talk about your safety training. You want to talk about how you did at the range. Oh, look at my groups. I was doing these failure drills today. And all that stuff's really important. I mean, really, really important. I'm not discounting that. But I've known so many people who do all those things. They take all the necessary steps, and then they carry with a holster they bought from a big box hunting store that was made 1,000 at a time. Please, don't put your life in one of those holsters. You need to trust Northwest Retention Systems because it's all custom-made gear. It's the only thing I carry around. NWRetention.com. That's NWRetention.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Gets you 10% off.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
I want you to imagine something. And I want you to understand this. This is me talking to you right now. You know it can get a little rough sometimes, to put it mildly, as we talk about history, governments, secret police, wars, battles, tribes, historical events. I don't sugarcoat things. I understand you listen with your children, and I love that. I'll try to make it always a show that way. But I'm always going to give it to you straight. This is not Animal Planet. You're going to see the lion eat the gazelle here. And I don't do that because I'm some glutton for blood. I do that because I think it's healthy for a young man to watch a deer die, to hear it and smell it and feel it. I think it gives you more of an appreciation for life. In the same way, when I give you the rough parts of history, and there are many of them, it's not because I want you to get off on the blood and guts and things like that. It's because I want you to know just how real it is. And what I'm about to tell you is real. So I want you to imagine. You go home tonight. You sit down. Family dinner. Lovely time. Got a couple kids. I'll use my own family for example. Two boys. Wife, kids. Kiss on the cheek, everybody. Good night. Dad's going to stay up, have a bourbon with the wife, and then we're going to crash out. Got to work the next day. In bed, 9, 10 o'clock. Ah. And you wake up to your front door shattering, shouting all over the place, and it's freezing outside. It's 15 below. Shouting, loud flashlights. Your kids are screaming, "Dad, Mom!" Men storm into your home, start beating you mercilessly, slapping your wife, throwing handcuffs on you. You look and you see they've beaten your kids and have handcuffs on them. They then haul you out, throw you all in the back of a truck with blindfolds on as you lay there in your bedclothes, trying not to freeze to death, huddling up with your family so your kids don't die of hypothermia en route. When you get to where you're going, your kids call out for you again, at which point they get hit and hauled away. You'll never see them again. You Well, I don't know who it's worse for, you or your wife. You are going to be stripped naked, interrogated. They do a temperature check on you. They're looking you over. You don't look strong enough to be of any value. They decide you're not, at which point they put a bucket underneath your butthole with a rat on the inside of it and light it on fire so it digs its way through you to kill you. I'm actually going to skip over how it goes for your wife. Let's just say you actually probably did get the better end of the deal because it took her a few days within a very, very rough time to go. What I just told you is, in all seriousness, not even that bad of a version of what took place in the Soviet gulags. Not once. That wasn't one night. Hundreds of thousands died that way. Millions, probably. Undoubtedly, really. Millions. If you heard that story once about someone you vaguely knew, you'd be horrified. You're probably horrified right now. That's how people ended their lives, by the million. Your kids, in case you're wondering, were most likely going to get sent to a special orphanage where they would be worked to death, almost undoubtedly. That is what happens when you allow the government enforcement arm to become government unto itself. I understand we're going to talk a lot about what happened in Los Angeles this weekend, those deputies shot. But the most underreported story in the country is what's going on with the Department of Justice, with law and order in this country as we speak, and it's something that should scare you to death. Now, let's do a brief recap on the Soviet Union this morning. We're doing just a little Soviet Union KGB spy type show, brief one. Secret police are not exactly an invention of Russia. We like to imagine they are because it's what all of our movies have been, right? It's everyone who hasn't heard of the KGB. As many Americans have heard of the KGB as have heard of the CIA, and the KGB doesn't even exist anymore. Not in that name, anyway. But we all know that. Oh, secret police, gulags, things like that. They didn't invent it. In fact, pre-communist Russia had a powerful one under the czars, and that's not an uncommon thing under monarchs. Monarchs, in general, will tend to have a powerful internal enforcement arm. One that monarchs throughout history have been well aware they really, really need to control. Now, why does a monarch need or want an internal enforcement arm? Why does anybody? Well, to put a really broad point on it, man desires to be free. Man also desires to bend other men to his will. If you want people to bend to your will, oftentimes you can win them over. Oftentimes you have to get them to your side by other means. It's all about force. Who has it? Who does not? Now, it was easier. The monarchs back in the day, they don't get the same publicity for their garbage secret police because they don't make movies about them and we don't have videos and films and firsthand accounts and things like that. But it was the same thing. I, because I'm the king with a bunch of money and access to the right training schools, I can very easily go out and find 50 gigantic, scary young men who are trained to murder people and have great arms and armor. And what are you going to do about it if I want to send them your way? Nothing. Hang on. Home title theft is not a joke, and it's something that can absolutely crush you. Try to imagine this. Imagine what this would feel like. Walking in your home tonight, talking to your spouse, and telling them, honey, we have to pack. Well, why? Why do we have to pack? Because we're being evicted. Evicted? What did we do? Well, we didn't do anything. The cyber thieves, they found our home title online. They forged our signatures on it. They took a loan out against it. And apparently we've been getting past due notices, and I thought they were junk mail, and now we're being evicted from the house. That's not a fantasy. That's happening right now because people aren't getting HomeTitleLock.com. Go to HomeTitleLock.com right now. Register your address and see if you're already a victim. While you're there, sign up. Use the promo code Jesse, get 30 free days of protection.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
So the czars had secret police, but then, well, something happened in Russia. Something bad happened in Russia. The communist revolution. Now, you know, in general, the story of the communist revolution, and I'm not going to go into the details of it today, but it's important that you also remember it wasn't only in Russia that this was taking place. It was France had a huge problem with this during World War I. They could not control it. They had a huge mutiny. Well, mutiny is probably a big revolt with the armed forces because the socialism, Marxism thing was taking hold. They had to execute people. They had to give them concessions. This was something that was sweeping the world at the time. Okay? Sweeping the world at the time. Only for whatever reason, it really, really, really took hold in Russia. They really wanted rid of their czar. I understand that. He actually doesn't appear to be a terrible guy, their czar. I mean, we're not talking this was Ivan the Terrible here. But they really wanted rid of him, and it took hold there. Now, in all fairness to the Ruskies, who you know I find fascinating, it's such a harsh, brutal country with a brutal history. In all fairness to them, it's not like all of the country was all, hey, communism seems sweet. A lot of people died for the commies to take over. There were plenty of Russians fighting against that. It was a vicious war, which we will cover in detail one day. But the commies won. Got Russia out of World War I, which is what Germany wanted. Commies won. They take over. Vladimir Lenin takes over. And again, I'm skipping over a lot of events between the revolution happening. You know the commie revolution started on International Women's Day, Chris? How about that? Figures. Quit. Lenin takes over. And now you're Vladimir Lenin. If you can briefly set aside your hatred for communism for a moment, I'm going to attempt to set mine aside as well. So we're going to do this together. Believe me, I hate it as much or more than you do. I find this period of time to be fascinating. Lenin and his commies are now in power. They've had to kill a lot of people already to take power. So, yes, they're in power, but that doesn't necessarily mean you have that firm of a hold on things when you just had to fight a war to take it. I mean, you're going to be shaky. You're going to have taken casualties. They're still going to have people around. That's the way wars, especially internal ones, work. And you're Vladimir Lenin. Not only do you have a bit of a shaky hold on power, that's one. Two, you're taking over a country that has only known czars, monarchies. They don't even know what communism is, a lot of these people. How is it supposed to function? And that may sound small to you. Throughout history, it is very, very, very difficult for nations to just turn on a dime and choose a different form of government. They struggle with it. You see it in the Middle East right now. They struggle with freedom in some places. We are here to help. Got rid of that dictator for you. Here, have a republic. I'm sure you're going to want that, right? No, sometimes they don't. So now they don't have a monarchy anymore, which they're used to. You have a new guy, new people in charge. And, oh, get this. Not only did we lose our monarchy, not only do we have new people in charge, but these new people in charge, Lenin and such, they're putting in a form of government that has never been tried before in the history of mankind. Remember, this was the beginning of all that. So what do you do if you're Lenin? Because you know, if you're Lenin and the commies, I'm just going to put all this on Lenin. I'm just putting it broadly. What you know for a fact, this is going to be difficult. We're going to have hardship here. What are your choices when you get in that role? Well, it's pretty simple. You can go A, give people the carrots, B, give people the stick, or C, a mixture of the two. In general, with a great king, you'll see some throughout history. They'll generally go with the option C, a mixture of the two with mostly carrots. You got to reserve a couple sticks out there. That's the nature of rule. But, you know, mostly carrots. Maybe a couple sticks. Option C. However, time to start talking about God to you for a second here. Part of communism, an important part of communism, is it's not religious at all. In fact, extremely anti-religious. Purging Christians, purging Jews. That's, you can't have that. But people mistake why. It's because government must be the god in communism. You cannot possibly both serve, you know, you can't possibly serve God and serve the government. You can only have one master that you think is supreme above all. But on top of the other afterlife problems you're going to have if you're a godless commie, in the current life, what does having no God, no religious centering, what does it allow you to do to your fellow man in pursuit of the utopia you're trying to create here on Earth? Well, if I don't believe in God, and Chris doesn't believe in God, and we have command over phone screener Mitchell, what can I make Mitchell do? What's to stop me? I don't value him as an individual soul, as an individual human being. You, as an individual under the communist system, because it's a godless system, doesn't matter whether you believe in God or not, that's just a fact. It's a godless system, so your life has zero value. None. You only exist to further my commie goals, period. If I want, let's say, the White Sea Canal built, and yes, this is a real thing they did. I want the White Sea Canal built. I don't really have the money, the heavy machinery, the resources to do this thing. But you know what I do have? Man, as luck would have it, I have 100,000 political prisoners that disagree with the utopia I'm trying to create. And if I look at these 100,000 political prisoners as not being individual God-created souls, and I just look at them as meaningless masses of bone and blood, what can't I do to them? What won't my conscience give me permission to do, right? So guess what? I want a canal built? Grab a shovel. You're building it. You need to get a gold IRA. Now, I'm not telling you to take every dime you have and buy a chest full of pirate treasure because the world's about to come to an end. You didn't hear me say that. I'm just telling you, you need to get a gold IRA from Gold Alliance so you can diversify your portfolio. The feds are printing money like it's going out of style. You know how that story ends, right? You see the business closures everywhere. Do you think the stock market's only going to continue to grow in an environment where we're devaluing the currency and losing tax revenue? Be smart. Go to goldalliance.com/Jesse. That's goldalliance.com/Jesse. Get a gold IRA and get up to $5,000 in gold and silver coins. When you don't view people as human beings anymore, your conscience will let you do whatever you want to them. I'm going to say something, and you're probably going to disagree, and that's fine, but then once I explain it, you may end up coming around to my side. Communist regimes, especially the one in the Soviet Union, are the greatest evil man has ever done, ever, to other man in the history of mankind. Now, I understand you're going to say something, especially because you listen to my show, you're going to say something like, oh, what about the Mongols? What about what the Mongols did and slaughtering everyone in the city? Yep, not arguing. You're even going to say, and this will be very common and understandable, what about the Nazis and what they did in the Holocaust? It's worse, isn't it? Okay, obviously, understandable, that would be on your short list. But here's why I separate what happened in communist Russia and I make it worse. When Genghis Khan took and sacked the city, he took and sacked the city. He's gone in a week, maybe two. Even the Holocaust while it went on throughout the war and was abominable for throughout the war, the mass industrial level killings didn't start until what, past 2 years, past 3 years, something like that, Chris? I forget about my exact time, but somewhere in there. Obviously evil as it gets. But this treatment of other human beings like absolute gutter trash went on in Russia for 30, 40 years. It's not as if you had one bad guy take over and he was really bad and everyone stepped in and said, whoa, that was a little far. I apologize. We're going to do better. It was one guy and then the next guy and then the next guy. And then it was long sustained. It was just not a blip in the radar, which is why I call it the most evil. It was the system. That's just part of the system. It was the DMV to them. Imagine how insane that was. That horrible gulag story I told you in the beginning, that being just part of your country for 30, 40 years. Now, I realize they were very secretive about it. It's not like every Soviet was walking around knowing that was happening, but people talk. Don't think they didn't know bad things were happening. Imagine that. Forever. Multiple regimes. People, many of them, millions, were born, lived, and died only ever knowing that government system. That is insane to me. If you were a German during the age of Hitler, what was Hitler around? 15 years max, where he was in any kind of power? And World War II Holocaust stuff was 5 or 6? I mean, obviously unbearably bad, but you would have remembered what it was like before this scumbag, and then you would have got to enjoy life after that scumbag. In Russia, 40, 50, 60 years old, that's all you ever knew. Isn't that insane to you? It's insane to me, and not to get too sappy, how can that not make you feel blessed beyond belief to have what you have here? That's as ugly as it gets. And Lenin takes over, and right away is firing up the secret police. The outside of the law secret police. And what do? Well, you remember, Lenin still had plenty of opposition within the borders. Secret police, they set out to make sure that opposition wasn't going to be around very much longer. And when you're doing that, you're given permission by the bosses. Here, you can go do whatever you want. Just find these people and get rid of them. So you're given permission to do whatever you want. And because you're a communist, you don't place any value on lives that you're out there finding. Well, you figure you might as well send a message, right? They didn't want to go just mass execute people all the time, though they did that a lot. They wanted to mass execute people in ways that would absolutely terrify the next guy who thought about stepping out. You ever seen the movies where they make you walk a plank? In the pirate movies, you walk the plank until you walk into the ocean. I actually don't know whether or not they did that. We need to look that up, Chris. You walk the plank to get into the ocean. You know what they did really do, though? Walk the plank slowly to drop into a furnace and burn alive. They would haul political prisoners, dissenters, people who disagree with Lenin. They would haul them out in the 20, 30 below Russian winter and strip them naked and spray them down with water until they would actually turn into ice cubes. They would skin people alive. They would put you in a barrel that was lined with nails and roll the barrel around. They would do the rat thing I told you about. They would use hot pokers in ways I'm not going to describe here on the show. Again, men and women. And they wanted all the other people in their own country to know, we are in charge. We can do whatever we want to you. You? Oh, no. You better follow the law or there will be consequences. And never in the history of mankind has a powerful government enforcement arm with the arms and armor to wreck your life being above the law, never has that worked out in the end for the people. That ends ugly all the time. All the time. Post Lenin, we go into Stalin. Stalin, contrary to, I mean, a lot of people may associate Stalin with the KGB. That's fair because you don't have to nerd out on details. People do that way too much in history, but just know that they weren't called the KGB under Stalin. They were called the NKVD. But it was the same thing, an internal police force, internal and external police force completely designed to round up and execute enemies of the state. Who are enemies of the state? Well, whoever Stalin decides are enemies of the state. Have you heard of the Great Terror? How about this? Imagine the FBI rounding up 75% of the generals and politicians out there and shooting them all in the back of the head. This is not fairy tale stuff. This happened.
Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy. Your football buddy. Or you, your best man. Your worst man. You, your dog walker. Your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. That's doihaveprediabetes.org.
Wait, did they just say 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes? That's 33.33333% of adults. That means it could be me, my boss, or my boss's boss, or me, my favorite sister, or my other sister. That's 7 members of my 21-person romantic book club. Wait, the 1 in 3 could be me, my karaoke partner Carol, or my karaoke enemy Jeff. I'm going to take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its pre-diabetes awareness partners.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show. Like a stain on your brain, you can't get out.
When I said Great Terror, I don't want you to be confused. You see, there's been lots of terror out there. French Revolution had a Great Terror as well. This is the Russian Great Terror of the late 30s. Not to be confused with the other Russian Red Terror. That was the one that came right after the Commie Revolution. Are you starting to pick up on what takes place when you have a powerful, lawless state police? Are you starting to get it yet? You know why There are so many periods of time under communism that are called terror. Be careful. Be careful what you allow out there. I have a billion stories, a billion things I want to talk to you about today, so I'm wrapping this one up a little bit early. But just understand this. We are getting reports now. I'm sure you probably haven't read about them because we have no media in this country. But we found out Robert Mueller, his team, they intentionally erased everything off multiple FBI cell phones. This is not a conspiracy theory. This is what they did. It's out there. I mean, you just do a quick Google search. You'll see it. You see the phones, probably iPhones. I don't know. Maybe every smartphone has this. Have a feature where if you put in the wrong password 10 times, it mass erases everything off the phone. 10 times. Chris said it takes over an hour to do it. 10 times. So I just want to lay this out for you and tell you how serious this has become. Under Barack Obama, most likely his guidance, undoubtedly with his knowledge, we have that from the text exchanges. Under Barack Obama, the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the Central Intelligence Agency decided to dig in to Donald Trump's presidential campaign when he was a private citizen running for president of the United States. The FBI then used the Steele dossier. The Steele dossier was created by a man named Christopher Steele, not created for the FBI, created and paid for by the Hillary Clinton campaign, created to dig up dirt on Donald Trump. Dossier was put in the hands of the FBI, who already knew it was full of bad information. They took a dossier. This is just what we know. They took a dossier full of bad information down to the FISA court. Why do we have a FISA court? Well, because it's supposed to be a really, 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 really big deal to spy on an American citizen. That's not something that should be easy, ever, at any point in time. The FBI takes bunk information on purpose down to the FISA court and gets warrants to wiretap the Trump campaign. They do so. Trump gets elected. He then finds out what was happening against his campaign, and we begin looking into it. However, Democrats push for a special prosecutor to continue to investigate this Russian collusion. Republicans, because they're useless cowards, for the most part, say, oh, yeah, we do. We have to appear like we're doing the right thing. We need a special prosecutor. Jeff Sessions, because he's vintage Republican, I'm a very nice Southern gentleman. I think it would be the right thing for me to, I think I'll recuse myself and step aside. I mean, it's not like they have ulterior motives here. Surely they're just trying to do the right thing, and I'll just try to do the right thing. Steps aside while Mueller takes 2 years collecting evidence, digging for anything he can find to uncover Russian collusion by the Trump campaign. During this 2 years, remember, we are repeatedly told by Republicans that Mueller is some saintly patriot above reproach with a record of service. We can trust Robert Mueller. He finds out there was no collusion. He finds it out before the midterm elections and chooses to sit on said information until after the midterm elections. Oh, but wait, there's more.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now there's a barmaid there, good looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Hey, what would you like? I usually, my drink was give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink. The guys come in. I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
This is an iHeart podcast.